deliverance from things. And we've talked a little bit more specifically in, you know, remember there were several points in the outline. Of course, you've memorized the outline by now, so I don't need to go over it. But section two was, what do you want deliverance from? Sin, enemies, disease and infirmity. Today we're going to talk about the world. The last section is self. Jesus sort of said you need deliverance of self in order to enter the kingdom. He said that to his disciples. Unless you repent and come as a little child with a humble attitude, you can't enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is for you. The kingdom of God supplies you. The kingdom of God protects you. The kingdom of God carries you. The kingdom of God is the strong tower that the righteous run into and are safe. The kingdom of God is not about you. So, what is it about? Well, isn't it interesting how the Bible says friendship with the world is, it makes you an enemy of the gospel, of the kingdom. And the world. Why does it lead me to that? Because one of the things that was happening in this meeting is that FCA ministers, a growing organization, a Pentecostal type organization, they don't insist that you be baptized in the Spirit, but I don't know anybody in there who isn't. So, we get there, and you'd be surprised how many people, when I went to shake their hand, offered me their elbow. Now, we're down to 15 active cases. I guess they thought maybe I was one of them. I'm an active case, but it's not what they think, right? Sort of like John's were here. And I'd always ask them, is that the elbow you cough into? And don't cough into your hand anymore, because you're not going to use it to shake hands. So, you know, cough into your elbow and then touch elbows. If you want to be paranoid, let's do the job right. And when we inducted or sanctioned or commissioned Raymond, Dwayne, who is our elder and who survived re-election, only 6 votes against, he's a very good preacher. And he sort of, he probably preached too long. It's probably why it took an extra hour for this meeting. But he was talking about Raymond, but Roger really knows Raymond. Roger's the one who brought Raymond in and understands what we're doing and why we're doing it. But Dwayne said, let's all, you know, come up and form a circle around him and stretch out your hands. He was there with his wife, Jean. She's a quiet partner, a silent partner. She never opened her mouth. But Ray confessed that she talks more than he does. And they were both there. And Dwayne said, well, let's all stretch out our hands towards him. And I thought, you know, that's cute. I mean, and we could all point our right toes at them too. But the scripture never said, stretch out your hand, except the one guy who was crippled, and that was to get him healed, not Jesus healed, by the way. And and the doctrine of the laying on of hands is in Hebrews as a foundational doctrine of the church, chapter 6. So I when I finally got to the point where everybody could say anything they wanted, I had a word for them, and I went up to them. And they rushed around with their camera and their microphone, and I batted the microphone away. I said, "This is not a word for you, this is a word for them." And I put my hands on them, and I gave them that word. And then people loosened up a little bit. And what was good is that they used to be called the First Nations Family Worship Center. How many of you knew that? They were in the old Lutheran church. How many of you knew that? Down on Power Avenue. They've got the and the name of Jesus. But he was finding all he was getting was First Nations people. When you call your church First Nations Family Worship Center, there weren't that many non-First Nations people wandering in off the street. I mean, I've been there several times. It's a good church. They know how to worship too. It's mostly country and Western. And what did Steve Paulson say, the head of Teen Challenge? "There's only two kinds of music I don't like," he said. "One of them's country and the other's Western." But but they know how to worship with it. And they are a worshiping congregation, because someone who's directing worship will get up there and say, "Joe." And Joe will come up and grab one of the guitars and start singing. And the drummer will pick up right behind him. And the rhythm guitar and the bass guitar will pick up right behind him. And he'll do three songs that he knows is good. And then you put the guitar down and go sit down. And the guy who's leading the worship will get up and say, "Lois." And Lois will come up and grab the guitar and lead three songs and two songs maybe. And they'll worship. It's good. But they changed the name last year of their church to the Launching Pad. And now other people come in. Launching Place. I stand corrected. I still stand, but I stand corrected. Now, I'll call them elders, or his lead people, were there. There were 10 of them there. Almost like Oakbank Christian Church at the coordinator meetings. We didn't advertise it a lot because I knew it was going to be like a 6-hour meeting. And the last 3 hours, you could have stayed, but it was administration. It was running the company that's called FCA. And I didn't want people there because I was going to say a few things that would maybe upset some of them. So you're going to hear nice. You want things that are lovely. They actually held a vote before I could speak to it. And they finally got the worked out so I could talk into the computer that we could see everybody else in, and I said my piece. And they said, "Well, we've already passed this resolution." And then the lights started to go on, and guys started to say, "Well, I didn't know this, and how do we fix it?" And, "Well, it's too late." And they actually voted to rescind the resolution and wipe it out. That was good. I liked that. Because the people can, it was a real meeting where people weren't just rubber stamping and sleeping, right? In fact, the chairman of the meeting phoned me afterwards and said, "You saved our bacon there, thank you." I didn't know we weren't thinking on that one. But I didn't know whether they would be receptive or not. But when the Lord tells me to say something, I say it. Which gets me, all this, to the world. Because we're going through a time when being politically correct, socially correct, seems to be important. And the fear of man is a snare. In fact, Derek Prince, you all know Derek Prince from the 1980s. I think he was actually knighted or something. But he was a fairly high-end theologian. And the Lord, when he retired, he was led into deliverance ministry. He wrote the book, Deliver Us From Evil. He didn't write the book on Deliver Us From Evil. He wrote the book, Deliver Us From Evil, I think, if I'm correct. I'm not sure. Might have been Don Basham. But anyway, they were all part of that New Wine group. And he did a lot of teaching and he was a renowned scholar in Europe. He was from Europe and in the United States, where they recognized his calling. He said the demonic has three characteristics. Always three characteristics. One, now you'll start to see the connections. You're going to connect the dots. Intimidation. And what you're witnessing and have witnessed around you is intimidation. People are afraid to go out. Churches are afraid to meet. People have suddenly become afraid to not go along with the government. They tried with global warming for a long, long time to get everybody into groupthink. Coronavirus is better. Intimidation. You witness this, especially in the last wave, as coronavirus wave wears off. They went into the racist wave, especially in the States, where it's obvious that the cops hate black people. The cops shot and killed last year 9 unarmed black people and 19 unarmed white people. But don't let the facts bother you. This is about intimidation. It's a spirit of intimidation. They're so intimidated that the rulers of this age are falling over themselves for the spiritual rulers, the unseen rulers of this age. In fact, they pretty near had every knee bowing and every tongue confessing that the police were racist. Intimidation. That's how you know it's a religion. These things are a religion. They are spiritual. They are Ephesians 6 in nature. 2. For those of you who use Roman numerals, that's double L. 2. Double L is Roman numerals for 2. Just thought you should know. Anyway. small L. Well, you want the capital I, right? You're using capitals? Two, manipulation. Once I've got you intimidated, I try to make you do something to acknowledge and respond to me. It may look innocuous. As somebody said, as a bumper sticker said about 15 years ago, I was reading, I thought it was pretty good. Don't tell me what kind of day to have. And as they say now, stay safe. Because we're taking your freedom and your independence, just stay safe. Stay home. That's a simple one. But it's also one we can impose on everybody. First epidemic ever where they quarantined the healthy and not the sick. First time they experimented where doctors ran your economy. How's that working out? Third, when I get to manipulate you, and I get everybody intimidated so that everybody's afraid to say there's an elephant in the room, or this emperor has no clothes, or the economy is now killing more people than the 7 people who were already sick that died and had a positive diagnosis. The third is control. That's three I's. Spell it with three I's or small L's. So, when you witness that, you're witnessing another spirit, because control is going to move. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. But as these things tighten up, you'll see the counterfeit. You see the usurping spirits. It's often called a Jezebel spirit. Jezebel decided she should run the kingdom and her poor dumb husband should get out of the way. Now, he wasn't that smart, because guess who he married, right? But that spirit is working in the world. It has an objective, control. But the objective, ultimately, when you read the scripture, when you read Daniel, when you read Revelation, when you read the Gospels, is to deny the control and the kingdom and the glory of the church. That's why there's opposition to you becoming a born-again Christian. There's 10 times the opposition for you getting into the kingdom. Amen. That's why, well, Glenn was lecturing me the other day on the seven mountains. Yeah, I don't think he's ever been to the mountains. I don't think he's ever climbed anything more than three flights of stairs. But he was telling me, of course, I already knew it all, but he was telling me about the description of some of the that has been in the church for a while on the different principality reigns and sectors, such as the government sector, which you see on display all the time, because the other sectors like media and entertainment are too lazy to do anything, so they just watch the cartoons in places like Washington and Ottawa and repeat them. They're also the mouthpiece for those spirits. And he was saying how the church needs to start to go into some of those kingdoms and take control. And this is another place where I've disagreed with a few people. Not with Glenn, he's smarter than me. But I disagreed with people who have tried to say we need to create a Christian political party, like the Canadian Heritage Party. And a good friend of mine, David Reimer, is one of the SCA ministers, and he's very big in it. And I keep telling him he's wrong. We're still good friends, because, you know, he knows I'm smarter than him and all that sort of stuff. Anyway, but you don't ask the devil to vote for God. They're unlikely to do it. Having a party that runs on biblical standards is not likely to do it. Do you see, Daniel became the ruler. Joseph became the ruler. Not because he practiced Jewish law or believed in the Jewish God. He became the ruler because he had an anointing to rule, or an anointing to see in the case of Daniel, and to administer. The anointing was to do the job. And so you look for the anointed one for the job. You know, they had anointed people to put the gold overlay on things in the temple. There were people with anointed ability as tinsmiths or carpenters for the temple. Kingdom has every part of the body functional. But you got to go and get those other things and fill the earth and subdue it. And that's why Europe came ahead of the rest of the world. It wasn't that they were very civilized. Go to Europe today. They're not very civilized. They're all washed up. And you ever see a pig with lipstick? I mean, it's all pretty, but the reason they became the lead in the world and Western civilization became the lead is because they had the Renaissance. They had the light. You know, the Chinese had civilization 3,000 years before these guys got out of their armor. But they didn't have the light of the gospel. And that revelation, the light, the word was life, and that life was the light of men. Wasn't that they were better looking? All the good looking ones were over here. It's that the gospel was there. The breakdown and the attack of the church in Europe was the breakdown and the attack of the light in the world, which was sending the light out. The missionaries who came to Canada, the people with the gospel in Canada, the Christians in Canada, came from Europe. These things faded in Europe. They're coming back. But the old wineskins are like the Pharisees. They don't want to change their tradition and their place. But the church in Europe no longer runs welfare. It no longer runs warfare. It no longer runs health care. It no longer runs education. It no longer runs moral value. It no longer runs many, if not all, of the mountains, including the mountain or the realm of family, which is different from the realm of religion. You're seeing an attack on the church. But if you actually see it, it's a contest of kingdoms. And if you don't understand kingdom, you could die in the process. Or they could burn your store down. John. We're going to spend a little time in John. We'll go back here more probably on Tuesday. John 12. We'll start there. We'll do it chronologically. It doesn't necessarily need to flow chronologically. Yeah, right after the service. No, go ahead. His promises weren't for you. First Corinthians 12:7. The manifestations of the Spirit are given for the common good. Yeah. It's the calling card of the kingdom. Yeah, pay attention to the place that the Lord has gifted you, the grace upon you. We haven't gone over it again, but we've done it two or three times in the last 20 years, so I don't know why you don't remember it. But there's basically function, fruit, and call is what you need to understand about yourself. And if you understand your function, i.e. where the grace of God is upon you, then produce some fruit in it so that you'll get a call. There are people like, my expression is a high school girl on Friday night, there are people waiting for the phone to ring, for the big call. There's no fruit. Be faithful in a little. Enter into the joy of your master. So go to bed and get up and watch it grow. John 12. It's an interesting thing what's going on right now. You don't have to know anything about it unless you're involved in some of those strategic areas. But you have to be faithful to the kingdom. You have to start to want to understand it, how it provides for you, what it does for you, where it will do it, and how it does it. In 27, Jesus said, "Now my soul," you understand your spirit, soul, and body, the critical, the living part, the eternal part of you is your spirit. Your soul will follow your spirit. You are a spirit. Let us create man in our image. God is not a man that he should lie, but we are created in his image. He is a spirit. God is a spirit. He is a person. He's not a human. You are a spirit. And you decide where you will be eternally, heaven or hell. Adam and Eve decided for hell. But their spirits still exist. They're just dead. The day they took the tree, they died. Their body didn't die. Their soul didn't die. But they were out of eternal life. So ultimately their bodies did die. Without the spirit, the body dies. You have a soul. It is your emotional and intellectual, your sight, your comprehending. In the natural realm, the important part of your will is not in your soul, despite the protestations of many famous preachers alive today. There is a will of the soul. It's called lust. For the flesh is both the body and the soul. You can lust for power as much as you can lust for chocolate cake or ice cream and strawberries, whatever. I have a quiz for you later. Uncontrolled lust is sin. But you have natural things you need to do to keep going, and you live in a body. And the spirit will run and rule, we reign in life through one man, Christ Jesus, over the spirit, over the soul, and over the body. So back in 27, he says, "Now my soul," God has a soul. He has a body too, but they're spiritual, they're not human, not flesh. You will get a glorified body in the twinkling of an eye. Now my soul, God said, if Jesus shrinks back from this task that I've assigned him, my soul will have no pleasure in him. Wasn't going to be happy. And Jesus said, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? This decision he's making, where his will is being exercised, is not in his soul. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And so we have the place where, as the veil is taken away, we go from 2 Corinthians 3:17. We go, it's nothing to sneeze at, Manny. We go from, go ahead, there's Kleenex right back there. I hope you did that into your hand. Good. Anyway. When the veil is taken away, we move from the glory of the hidden, the Moses veil, to a glory that makes the first glory nothing, because the second glory is so powerful. And the scripture says, from glory to glory, he's changing us. People used to think, they actually used to teach this, that the glory was somehow you, because the glory of God is seen upon you. But God doesn't give his glory to another. It's just seen upon you. It's the glory of God. And you used to think, well, from glory to glory to glory, I'm just getting better and better. You are getting better and better. But the glory he's talking about is the glory. From the glory of Moses and the old to the glory of what is seen when it's taken away, when the veil goes, when the curtain was torn, and the power and the glory moved into the kingdom and the body. And when he said that, a voice came out of heaven, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. God is talking about the glory of his name. And Jesus answered and said, well, some say it thundered, right? This voice did not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now, 31, now judgment is upon this world. You want deliverance from the world? This is the first level. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And he drove out the spirits with a word. Over in 14, he's telling them a lot of things. 14:30. You've got to understand your position to get deliverance. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. And he has nothing in me. You need to make this a confession of yours. I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. and the ruler of this world has nothing in me. No intimidation, no manipulation, and no control. Go to 16:33. You should read through these passages because they're very enlightening for the church, but they also lay foundations in our understanding of who we are and who they are. 16:33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. That's very much a kingdom provision for the world. In the world, you have tribulation. But take courage. You know what we are to do? We're to encourage one another. Prophecy is for exhortation. Edification. And comfort. Or encouragement. Encouragement is to put courage in somebody. Bind up the weak knees. Get the hands that are drooping. Lift up the hands that are falling down. These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. Fear not, only believe. I have overcome the world. If you're not associating or relating or connecting with the Lord Jesus, you'll say, what good does that do me? But as the scripture says, Christ within you is the hope of glory. If he has overcome the world, the scripture says we ought to walk as he walked. Back in 14, he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Throughout these passages, he says, when you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will do it. He says, I think it's back in 12 or 13, he says, "This my servant who serves me, I will honor him." You know, people want the favor of God and the glory of God. They want all those kingdom things for getting born again. Because a lot of kingdom stuff is preached like it's your personal. You know, the me gospel. It's about me. Tell me about me today. I'm here, Lord. Tell me about me. I'm here, Lord, tell me about you. Tell me about your kingdom. Tell me about how this kingdom will take the intimidation and the manipulation and the control and put it under the church's feet. When the power was flowing, they all wanted in. And they were afraid to come. Because this was the real deal. It's like Britain's Got Talent. You know, there's like 100 different, there's Ukraine Got Talent, and Lower Eritrea has talent, and Upper Mongolia has talent. You know, like it's a real franchise. And they're all about the same. And they put these little things. I don't watch it. But people send you these little snips. Oh, this is wonderful. That's how I found out who Susan Boyle was. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, but there's always this little sob story around it. I always wanted to get here, but now I'm here and I'm nervous. I mean, the church was a little bit like that. There was some value associated with it. You wanted to be there, but you're kind of afraid. What if someone stood up and gave a prophecy about you? And you fell dead over it. Anyway, it's not as bad as that. 1836, the year you were born. That's how you remember. I wasn't born till 1842. 1836. Therefore Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" He didn't answer like someone who was intimidated, but he was curious. Where was he in the other power? Where was he in the other kingdom? Because no man by his stripe, Jesus didn't hate the Romans. Jesus didn't even fight with the Romans. Jesus never told you to join a political movement. He was building a kingdom. The kingdom was then to go out and take on the other mountains. We got people taking on the mountains and they're not even in the kingdom yet. Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom Now, I know we like to quote the scripture, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy." And it's true. But if that's the depth of your understanding of the kingdom, you understand the kingdom only in relation to eating injunctions that were being spread around the church at the time over sacrificed meat and non-sacrificed meat. That's the depth of your understanding of the kingdom. It's like somebody said to me, "God is love." I said, "Yes, he is." But if that's the only thing you know about God, you don't know a lot about God. My kingdom. This is Jesus talking, not Paul, about meat. My kingdom. He's talking about kingdom to a king or a king's representative. Is not of this world. So why are you giving heed to this world? That was Paul's question all the time. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm, the unseen, the supernatural. So Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" Because he had no ability to get over there. He was just a worldly king, a political appointee, which is why Jesus was curious about him. He didn't often get these conversations. We'll talk more on Tuesday. It'll be exciting.